Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Monday, April 6th, and got a little bit of things to talk about that happened over the weekend. Some sort of national news, President Trump putting his voice in the mix for when the NFL should start. I'll talk about what's going on there and explain it so you have all the details on that. Also have Mike Tomlin's wife, Kaya Tomlin, coming out and helping with the current situation in the lack of masks that are out in the United States, as well as other issues like Donichel getting his daughter to be the person that's going to introduce him for his Pro Football Hall of Fame speech. But then it's Mock Draft Monday. Not only will we go over a recent mock draft, we'll go over the first round mock draft of the Locked On Podcast Network. That's right, we collected in all the picks from all the teams that included from the first round, and the teams that didn't get picks in the first round got to pick their second round options. So, who did I pick? Who did everyone else pick? I'll break that all down, and then finally with Mock Draft Monday, it's time to pick which one of you guys won the contest. All that and more here. Let's get into it. All right, happy Monday, everyone. Hope everyone had a positive weekend. Maybe you got some good takeout food, you got to relax a little bit. But it's Monday, so if you're going back to work, I'm here to help. If you're still stuck at home quarantining, here to help with that too. Let's get to talking about things that have been happening with the Steelers and also really with the NFL. First, a positive note here. Coach Tomlin's wife, Kaya Tomlin, has come out and she is a clothing designer. So she came out and she put together several masks that she's going to be sent out to help with the current lack of masks in the health industry right now in the United States. They're making her company's making 500 masks per week, and they're being donated to Pittsburgh hospitals. That's a big step up from them because that's a current serious situation. A lot of people need those masks, especially the people that are on the front lines handling the COVID-19 situation. Tomlin came on ESPN to talk about it and said it's hard to sit here and watch and people that you know are risking their lives, underprepared to take care of people, and we are all worried about getting our hands dirty at the grocery store. It's good to be able to support those people, even though I can't do what they do. What I do is in support for them. What I've heard, they appreciate it, and I'm happy to do it. So, really cool story there. Tomlin family coming up big. And the Tomlins have always been, just contributing to their own causes. You know, Mike Tomlin's been very public and known for fighting against human trafficking, so I think that's huge. If you're interested in donating any fabric, because what they're doing is they're taking all sorts of fabric and making them into masks, you should email info@kayatomlin.us. That's info@kiyatomlin.us. Again, that's info@kiyatomlin.us. I think that's something if you want to support and you have some extra fabrics lying around, maybe some blankets or something like that, or just some clothes you don't use anymore, send them shoot an email there and they'll give you some more details on how you can contribute to that effort. In other news, that's not huge news, before we get to the big story that I'm going to talk about, Donichel will have his daughter April Schell present her father at the Hall of Fame induction, which I think is going to be really cool. Donichel going in the same year as Troy Polamalu, one of the members of the Steel Curtain defense. Even though the Steel Curtain is really defensive line, everyone always referred it to the whole defense, but he's one of the members that people have been wondering why he isn't in the Hall of Fame. So you guys heard me talk about that, do a Throwback Thursday about him months ago, so I don't want to go back over that, but basically I think it's really cool. His daughter's announcing him, Schell even talked to Steelers.com about this. He said it was tough. It was a tough decision. That is why I wanted to pray about it. Once I got a clear idea in my quiet time, my prayer time, it was to be about my family. I knew April would be a good presenter. Her siblings agreed with the choice. So cool stuff here from the Schell family. I'm excited to see what kind of presentations put on for them as well as for Troy Polamalu. I believe his presenter is supposed to be announced very soon. We'll have that on the Locked On Steelers podcast as well. But The big story that we're going to talk about to lead off the show today is about a phone call that happened on Saturday involving the NFL. And of course, this was about the NFL season and it's starting. Now, President Donald Trump, this isn't a political show. This is going to be specifically about what's going on with football right now. We'll dab into politics when the time comes if it involves the Steelers. But with this situation, Trump was on a conference call with a bunch of commissioners from all different sports, and the report is that he was telling the NFL that he expects the league to go on schedule and make sure that they open their season in September. Now, the NFL has already kind of made its stand in that the draft is going to happen on time at April 23rd through the 25th, which to me shows, hey, you know what? The NFL, they know they're the main ticket, the only ticket in sports right now. They're driving all the sports conversations. Why not stick to what's been working and let's dominate the news cycle? But if the NFL is able to get on track and make sure that it starts on time, that could be huge for helping people in the United States kind of, you know, deal with all the stuff that's been happening. Right now, as it stands, we had a 30-day extension on the quarantine. Places won't even open. The quarantine might not even end until May at this point. And if that's where we're at right now and situation seems to change from week to week to day to day, we don't have a lot of it's really hard to rely on anything right now. But one of the more reliable things that happens in the U.S. is having football, because no matter whatever happens, there's always been something that everyone can kick back, watch a game of football, enjoy about it, talk about it, argue about it. But it's a huge part of American entertainment. In fact, it's of the most watched things in the country. When you look at all overall broadcasts, the only things that usually rival even the non-Super Bowl games. The Super Bowl game is always up there, but even just regular season matches and Monday Night Football and Thursday Night Football and playoff games, you know, all those games, the only things that rival them are usually either college football games, State of the Union addresses, or like major broadcasts that are forcing everyone to watch. Now, this year might be very different because of all the White House press briefings and everything going on with COVID-19. But the point is that football is an American tradition. It's an American pastime, maybe more so than anything else right now. So you look at that, and I think that everyone kind of hopes that it can get together and at least gives people something to talk about, to enjoy, and to deal with in real time that can take our minds off of all the stresses and all the problems of what's been going on with COVID-19. And this isn't to say that football should distract you from doing the right thing. You should still be washing your hands, making sure your face is covered, you know, using hand sanitizer whenever you can. Just take very good attention of everything you touch. Try not to touch your own face, things like that. Make sure you're protecting yourself, you're protecting your family, you're social distancing properly, and, you know, making sure that you're not getting into large spaces of people, or large groups of people, I mean. But you want to make sure that you're doing everything you can, not just to protect you and your family, but also everyone else around us. And so far in the Pittsburgh area, it does seem, according to the health reports that have been coming out, Pittsburgh has actually been doing pretty well with the social distancing. But we still got to stay vigilant, and so don't take this as a sense of like, oh well, we want to have football come back to normal. That's certainly I mean I can go back to normal. No, it's not that. But football being back to normal may be a huge push for this country, just to get everyone something to enjoy come the fall. Because, you know, I'm pretty sure the spring's still going to have a lot of this. But, you know, once the summer rolls around, it's going to be interesting to see, does baseball return? Does basketball and hockey get to do a shortened tournament to do their playoff runs? Because I do think that those are sports that can and probably will find a way to make it work. And then once all that's happening, will fans be allowed in the stands by the time that they do and by the time the NFL kicks off? But if we're looking at the NFL schedule, I do think it's a stretch to think that rookie camp and mini camp are going to happen happen on a regular time basis, even if they happen at all. I do think that training camp could possibly happen if you're talking about other sports getting a chance to at least start by July or August. But again, this is all day to day. We don't know how this is going to happen. What's going to really determine this are the results that are coming out and the progress that the health officials in the United States and really around the world are seeing with how everyone's dealing with this. So a lot is up in the air, but it's apparent that even President Trump is throwing his weight into this mix. So be that as it may, I do think that the NFL, they kind of realize that they have a huge opportunity to be that sport that sets everything back to normal, which would, I think, even elevate their position in the sports world even more than it is. They're already the number one sport in the U.S. by far. No, nothing comes even close to as far as to who watches what in the country. But you do something like this, I think it wins more fans over. I think it, you know, and especially if other sports may not be back in full swing yet, or if they are, and, you know, people are still kind of like, yeah, but we want football. This is just a huge opportunity, and the NFL usually pounces on those. All right. With that being said, let's get to our first break. Then we're going to get into what happened with the Locked On NFL Podcast Network mock draft that we did. Right back after this. All right, we're back. So it's Mock Draft Monday. We're going to get to who won the contest in the next segment. But we got to switch a special one, a special project we've been working on here at the Locked On Podcast Network. So all the Locked On NFL podcasts came together, and late last week we were going through our own mock draft. So we did an entire first round, and then any team that didn't get picks in the first round got to make their own pick in the second round. So, you know, that's a little tough because, you know, there were going to be teams that didn't get to pick in the second round that would have, and that would have impacted who was available. But I'm going to go over just who was picked when, just so you get a feel for what was happening, and as well as who I picked. You could probably guess, but, you know, we're going to get into that. So, of course, Bengals, they get the first pick. They get Joe Burrow. They don't even leave a note there. It's just obvious that's who the guy is. Now, then Washington comes in with the second pick. As predicted, they get Chase Young. They said that Washington was looking to trade down. No one was really willing to give them the price that they wanted, so they went and took Chase Young, who right now, in my opinion, is the best player in this draft. He just looks like a dominant force. The Lions also were looking to trade down, but they ended up selecting Jeffrey Okuda, which is, I think, huge for them. I honestly think the Lions shouldn't trade down. They should do everything they can to get Okuda because they lost Darius Slay, and they need it to bring a primary threat at cornerback. Okuda looks like a generational player. Just watching how he plays and how physical he is and how fast he is and how well he plays the ball, he does everything as a cornerback. So there's that. But then we had some interesting movement here. So the Giants have the fourth pick in the draft. They traded with the Chargers. They got some. They got the 37th overall pick. So they get the Chargers' second round pick, and they moved down to six to swap with the Chargers. The Chargers moved up to four, and they snagged Tua Tagovailoa. Very interesting pick there because the Chargers said, hey, you know what? We're not going to let the Dolphins set the tone. We're going to jump ahead of you, get Tua, so that you have to take Herbert for your quarterback draft, which the Dolphins did. So the Dolphins podcast, they were basically like, hey, you know what? We're happy to get any of the top three guys, Burrow, Tua, Justin Herbert, all of that, we're good to go with. So interesting move there. The Giants, they select Tristan Wirfs, offensive tackle from Iowa. And it makes sense for them to trade down because, you know, you're getting an offensive tackle. You could get that same offensive tackle at six that you're going to get it for. Because you look at that, those two teams that are sitting there, they want quarterbacks. So that seems like it'll be very interesting and tempting come the NFL draft. Will the Chargers try to jump over the Dolphins, and what will it cost them? So there's that. The Carolina Panthers at seven get Isaiah Simmons. I mean, it just makes perfect sense. Simmons looks like a Superman at the inside linebacker position. Runs a sub 4.4 40, and he looks like he can play so many different positions. He's got the huge build, and the team just lost Luke Kuechly because he retired. It just makes too much sense for the Panthers to pass that up. Arizona Cardinals go get Jedrick Wills at offensive tackle out of Alabama. I think this is essential because now you're giving Kyler Murray not only DeAndre Hopkins a premier threat to throw to, but a guy that's going to be his tackle probably for the rest of his career, as long as Wills and Murray both end up playing very well for Arizona. I really like Wills. I think he's going to be the man. Then the Jaguars stay put at 9. They go and draft interior defensive lineman Derek Brown from Auburn. That makes sense because they're trying to rebuild, and that's really what the defense was, what the Jaguars were able to make the push to the AFC Championship game just a few years ago. So as they rebuild, it makes sense to try and invest in that. Browns get tackle Andrew Thomas out of Georgia, which I thought was interesting. And then the Jets back them up by getting Mekhi Becton out of Louisville. So back-to-back offensive tackles going at the back end there, the top 10 there. But it, again, 4 offensive tackles going in the first going in the top 11 picks. That's kind of what I was talking about. But then we also, here comes the run at wide receiver. You got the Las Vegas Raiders getting CeeDee Lamb. You got the Niners getting Jerry Jeudy. You got the Vikings getting Henry Ruggs. So bam, bam, bam. You got Oklahoma and then 2 Alabama receivers just flying off the board. Don't forget the Niners jumped up in this draft by trading away their defensive tackle to the Colts, and they were able to get the 13th pick. Getting Jerry Jeudy, I mean, you add Jeudy to Deebo Samuel, that would be very interesting and give Jimmy Garoppolo some more guns to work with. Moving down the line, the second interior defensive lineman comes off the board, Javon Kinlaw out of South Carolina. Really like what he brings to the table. The Broncos, the Locked On Broncos guys are kind of like, yeah, we wanted to pick a wide receiver, but when you take the top 3 off the board like that, we got to pick the best player available. And they wanted an interior pass rusher guy. Moving down the line, at the 16th pick, C.J. Henderson, cornerback out of Florida, goes to the Atlanta Falcons. So I thought that was interesting. Then the Colts at 17, after trading down, they get this is another trade that they got from the Cowboys, but they get Jordan Love there. So they trade down and still get their guy, Jordan Love out of Utah State. I like Jordan Love. I'm not so sure if he's really worth a first round pick, but he has the talents, I think. So, if a team really wants him, they should go get him. Then at the 18th pick, Calavon Chasen, that just seems to be the standard Miami Dolphin pick right now at 18. So that's where the Steelers would have picked had they not traded to get Minkah Fitzpatrick. Then you got the Las Vegas Raiders picking again, getting A.J. Terrell, cornerback from Clemson, a really, really, really good cornerback from Clemson. Then it's back to the offensive lineman. The Jaguars get Austin Jackson of USC, good player there. And then again, more receivers. Brandon Ayuk flying off the board. Then Josh Jones goes to the Buccaneers. Patriots get Cesar Ruiz, which seems to, I've seen that a lot lately. It looks like that might be an important thing for Bill Belichick and the Patriots to reestablish the trench wars. Then you got the Saints drafting linebacker Kenneth Murray out of Oklahoma. Then a pair of LSU guys. They got Christian Fulton at cornerback going to the Vikings. Then the Dolphins selecting Grant Delpit, which I thought was very interesting. The Seahawks getting Yuta Gross-Matos from the defensive end from Penn State. It really seemed like the Seahawks guys made it obvious they were trying to trade back. They were trying to trade because they think they're going to sign Clowney, but no one wanted to trade up with them, so that's why they stuck there. The Baltimore Ravens get Patrick Queen, top-tier inside linebacker talent. They need that presence because they're losing a lot of people this year. The Titans go and get Jeff Gladney at cornerback from TCU. He's one of the better cornerbacks in this draft, and if they get him, it really could help their defense and their secondary solidify everything. Green Bay Packers get Justin Jefferson, which is a very solid. I really like Justin Jefferson out of LSU. He's really good tape. You get him and you could pair him with Devontae Adams, and Aaron Rodgers may finally have multiple weapons to target. So that's really good. Then the Denver Broncos, they go get Denzel Mims with the 31st pick. They traded, they traded from San Francisco to Denver. They gave up the 46th pick and the 83rd pick to get this. So the Broncos obviously want to give Drew Lock a top tier receiver talent, so they go get Denzel Mims of Baylor. He's a very explosive player. Then the Chiefs round out the end of the first round by picking cornerback from Utah, Jalen Johnson. So I thought that was interesting. Then the second round picks came. So we only picked the players from the the teams that didn't have first round picks. So the Dallas Cowboys started off. They got Trayvon Diggs, cornerback of Alabama. Solid pick. They need to replace Byron Jones. Houston Texans get T. Higgins, wide receiver from Clemson. Exactly. They're trying to replace DeAndre Hopkins. Now I was sitting there. Now here's, I want to give you guys the backstory of how this worked. So we were doing this over last week, and so it's like Friday, and I'm sitting at my job, and I get an email early in the morning. We're like all doing like mass emails, and we're kind of making sure we're all on the same page, and the Bears has the pick before me, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh, there's a guy who I really want who hasn't been selected yet and would change everything about how I approach this draft if he falls to them. And then Lauren of the Locked On Bears podcast went and selected him, Xavier McKinney, the safety of Alabama. Oh, I was so mad because I was sitting there thinking like McKinney would be perfect. That'd be that third safety option. Terrell Edmonds could bump down in the box more often. This would be perfect. I would have done it. But no, he picked McKinney. It's a very good pick, Lauren. Dang it. So that left me to the Steelers pick. And, I could look at Antoine Winfield, Kevon Wallace, and a few of the other guys. But, me, I'm big on the running backs. And no running back had been chosen. So I went and got the best running back in DeAndre Swift. The writing is on the wall. Again, I'm not saying that the running back position is the end-all, be-all of football. I'm saying that this is the position that the Steelers are targeting right now and who I fully expect them to pick. Unless someone like Xavier McKinney falls down to them. Then the rest of the picks, Zach Bond, edge rusher from Wisconsin, goes to the Rams, and then the Bills selected safety Jeremy Chinn of Southern Illinois. So, with all that, that was your first, well, I guess not first, that was this year's mock draft show. You can listen to the whole thing and get more analysis, and I gave everyone kind of gave their own reasoning on the show, on the Locked On NFL Draft podcast. So this is just a run through of those picks. But if you're a draft nerd and you want to learn more about what other people are seeing with those guys, go check out the Locked On NFL Draft podcast. It's right where you get everything else. Just like you get us, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, all that jazz. Okay, so with that, I'm gonna cut off this. Then we're gonna go into another mock draft, and then we're gonna pick which one of you people's won your mock draft. Right back to this. All right, we are back. It's time for Mock Draft Monday. To keep it rolling here, let's get on talking about the latest mock draft on the draft network. Talking about Joe Marino's 7.0 2020 NFL mock draft. You can find it by searching or going to the draft network, going to their mock drafts, and see who he has selected. Now, Joe really didn't go too far off of the plantation when it comes to all his picks. It was surprising. He did have Mekhi Becton falling to the Dolphins at 18. Mekhi Becton looks like a supreme offensive tackle. Not better than Minka Fitzpatrick, but that'd be a guy that if the Steelers had ended up getting him, I think it would have made a lot of sense. And it would have, he would have been that third anchor on the offensive line for the next, 5 to 8 years, however long he'd be with the Steelers, or if it's a decade, whatever. But the point is, that would have been a heck of a pick. Then in the second round, Joe Marino, has an interesting run of picks that end up happening here. He has Clyde Edwards-Helaire going at 45, and that's, the first running back off the board. I don't like that at all. No, I'm sorry. Actually, J.K. Dobbins going at 39. That's his first running back off the board. And that goes to the Dolphins. And then he has Clyde Edwards-Helaire going to the Buccaneers at 45. And then DeAndre Swift going to the Falcons at 47, which I'm not sure if the Falcons are going to do that and double up with him and Todd Gurley. But just think about that. You got two prime Georgia running backs in the same backfield. In Georgia? I mean, that's Atlanta. Wow, that's just crazy. But interesting picks there. But who does he have the Steelers slated for the 49th pick? He has Jonah Jackson, interior offensive lineman for Iowa State. If you don't remember how I talked about him, because I did a film breakdown on him and talked about what his specialties were. Jonah Jackson isn't a mauler. He's not going to be the guy that's like your anchor on the offensive line, but he's very solid. He's 6'4", 310, played Ohio State, and he's a guy that when he will work to get the leverage in a situation, and he'll win that leverage spot. So, I mean, decent pick. I just don't think that it's going to fit what the Steelers are going to do now, because they did go get Stephen Wisniewski. They do have Matt Filer, who I'm pretty sure they're going to move to left guard. So I'm not banking that they're going to use that second round pick on an interior offensive lineman that's just going to be plugged in there. But still, I understand the thinking there. Then as you go through into the third round, their comp pick at 102, he uses to get Jordan Elliott, interior defensive lineman out of Missouri. I don't like doing that here. I think that they could get one with that second of the fourth round picks, but I still think this would have been a time to get a playmaker on offense, whether it's a receiver or a running back or just someone that's going to contribute there. I get that everyone wants to replace Javon Hargrave. This is a guy who, you look at his abilities. He does have good pass rush moves here and there. He's pretty agile, but when it comes to how he's executed, his hand techniques can be very inaccurate. He doesn't always put his hand in the right spot, and sometimes that leads to him getting cut off by good interior offensive linemen. I'm not sold that he would be the best option in the third round. He also isn't a nose tackle, so if the Steelers, not that the Steelers are going to really need a nose tackle in the upcoming year, but I don't think an interior pass rusher was the move at three, especially when you got other positions to address. But there were a lot of good picks in the Mock Draft Monday contest. Thanks for all those who participated. If you don't know what this is and you're just listening to the show, every week on Friday, I make a Mock Draft Monday post where all of you guys, the listeners, the loyal Locked On listeners, can go into this post and show a snapshot of the players that you picked with one of the mock draft simulators that are out there. If you don't know what that is, you can go to thedraftnetwork.com, do one of their mock draft simulators. They basically, what happens is that you go there and you go to the mock drafts menu, click start mock draft, with that, when you look at start mock draft, then you can choose to be the Steelers and pick all seven of their picks. So that's what everyone's doing. So then you post it under the pick, and then everyone can get to it. So sorry for taking a long time to explain that. I just want to make sure our new listeners understand the game. So we had a ton of participants, a lot of really good picks here, but I'm going to go with Tim Garrity. Congratulations, you're this week's Mock Draft Monday winner. Tim really, this was an interesting player that fell down to the Steelers. And he got with the 49th pick, Patrick Queen. Now, if you don't know who Patrick Queen is, he's the top linebacker coming out of LSU. He would be the ultimate pairing with Devin Bush. Like, him and Devin Bush would be terrorists in the middle of the field. They would just, that would be a nightmare to have to throw through. And that would be, he'd be one of the guys that I'd even be willing to trade up if possible to get. I would want that if they could get him there. And I know everyone likes Vince Williams, and actually you should like Vince Williams, but Vince is a run stuffer and he's a pass rusher. He's not a coverage savant, and he can help in coverage, but he's not a guy you want dropping back into zone in the middle of the field. You put Patrick Queen out there with Devin Bush, say your prayers, offense. Like, you're in trouble. And Queen can also, he can help against the run. If it wasn't for Isaiah Simmons, he would be this year's top linebacker. Now, I don't think that Queen falls down to 49. I don't even think he falls out of the first round. But if the Steelers could trade up to get him, I would do it. And even if it cost them that third round pick, I would seriously consider it, because him and Devin Bush next to each other could be it would solve this year's inside linebacker issue of depth, and two, it may solve the question of just linebackers period for the next 5 to 6 years. Really, really good pick there, Tim. And you still ended up getting your running back with the third round comp pick, Zach Moss, Utah. Just a power back. We've talked about him a lot on this show. He follows his blockers well. He uses his teammates well. He's a good, solid player. He's a bigger guy, which is what the Steelers often like to pick. He doesn't have that home run speed, but he does have speed to get away. He's kind of like Le'Veon Bell. Like, you know, if you give him the lane, he will hit it. You know, he'll get to full speed. But he's not like Jonathan Taylor, who you give him one inch of daylight and he's off to the races. Then you went and got Shane Lemieux, interior offensive lineman at 124. That's right around the spot where I think the Steelers should get an interior offensive lineman, especially because they got Wisniewski. They don't need to draft high to address either guard or center. Just get someone in the middle rounds to address it. And similarly, I think that's what would make sense with the receiver position, which you also did with the second of the fourth round picks. You got Antonio Gandy-Golden, wide receiver. Now, if you've heard me talk about Gandy-Golden on this show, you know that I like Gandy-Golden as a sleeper pick. He's a taller athlete. He's really good after the catch. He goes up and gets the football. You want to see some highlights of him? Go look up the Senior Bowl highlights. He has a really nice one-handed grab that he snags out of the air in coverage. In the corner of the end zone, I think that he would be the kind of guy that you'd want to add in the middle rounds, not in the early rounds. That way you're getting that kind of extra player that can contribute to the offensive weaponry right now, and that way you're not over-investing into the wide receiver position, because the Steelers already have Juju Smith-Schuster, second-round pick, James Washington, second-round pick, Deontay Johnson, early third-round pick, almost a second-round pick. I think they've invested enough into the wide receiver position right now. They're all able to contribute to this offense, but you want to have fresh legs at the wide receiver position. You want to make sure that you have depth, because you do not want to end up the way the Steelers did in the 2016 AFC Championship game when they lost to the Patriots, and it was a game where their options at wide receiver were Antonio Brown, great, Darius Heyward-Bey, what? Sammy Coates with broken hands, who? And then you even had Eli Rogers coming out there, a young Eli Rogers, and it wasn't enough of a threat. And now with this pick, that would make him your fourth option. You'd most likely keep Deion Kane, and if you wanted to keep another guy, maybe Ryan Switzer. But honestly, you'd have really good options there if you got Gandy-Golden. So I love that pick. Honestly, the Gandy-Golden pick was part of what really sold Tim's picks for winning this one, because, and not that he was the best pick. Patrick Queen was, of course, the big thing, but the Danny Golden's like that cherry on top. Got Kendall Coleman, get your backup edge rusher to maybe push Skipper and Ola in camp, and then Jalen Elliott at safety. I think that's someone that can at least come into camp and fight, and maybe he gets molded into it. But don't forget, the Steelers do have $7 million in cap space right now. They can still go get a veteran. You know, if you want a veteran edge rusher, Clay Matthews is still out there. Veteran safety, there's always a ton of safeties out there in today's NFL market. So with all that being said, I like this draft because it addressed the running back position. It got you. It filled one of the key defensive positions that we were worried about in Patrick Queen at linebacker. Another position I think would really work, and we talked about this with John Ledyard a couple weeks ago, is the safety position. So if you can get a Kayvon Wallace and Antoine Winfield, like I was trying to get with the mock draft that I was doing, Xavier McKinney or Grant Delpit if he falls to you. You get one of those guys, I think that's also a win in the second round, because you need to have a third option at safety right now, better than what they have. Now, maybe Marcus Allen steps up. You know, he's a hard hitter, so you like the way that he plays sometimes. But he needs to get a better hold of the playbook and he's going to need to show off more in training camp. But again, congratulations to Tim Garrity. Thanks to all those who participated. Be sure to participate next week if you want your chance to get your picks read on the show, and to make sure that you, and to just get it on the fun. Even if you've already won, because I'm trying to do a new winner every week. But even if you've already won, it's still fun to do it. And you can talk with other Locked On listeners. We have over 500 Locked On listeners in the Facebook group. You can become one of those listeners by simply going to Facebook, searching Locked On Steelers, and asking to join the group. I'll add you as soon as I can, put you on the list, and then you're part of the community. You can talk with them at any point in time. People share their thoughts, share their own stories, other articles you see come out. Want to talk to other Steelers fans? It's a great community to do that. A lot of nice people there, and you get to play fun games like Mock Draft Monday. And apparently, we also play Fantasy Draft Friday, and you guys picked Tony Cirino to win again. He is now two first places. I came in last with third. Hunter came in second. So Tony's going to get to go up tomorrow because it's Tony Tuesday. So we'll be back dealing with that. Guys, come on. Get it right. Stop voting for Tony. Stop giving him power. Jeez. But we'll be recapping Fantasy Draft Friday, and Tony will get a chance to gloat with Tony Tuesday tomorrow. Tune in. You can always get our podcast if you want to. If you want to hear that podcast, you're not already subscribed, hit that subscribe button. We're on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever podcasts are hosted. Please also leave a 5-star review with a positive comment on Apple Podcasts. It really helps me get the word out about the show, about what we're doing here with Locked On Steelers. Again, I'm your host, Chris Carter. You can find me on Twitter at Carter Critiques. If you follow me, I'll follow you back. Hit me with a DM. Always down to chat with you all. Thanks so much for those who do contribute to the community. I'll be talking at you guys tomorrow for some Tony Tuesday.